Okay, so Ben-Gvir and Netanyahu are still going at each other on Twitter right now. I mean, this is an ongoing, unfolding situation with twists and turns every minute, but I want to bring you up to speed. Now, yesterday I did do a video kind of priming the pump and introducing us to the conversation. If you haven't seen it, I'll put a link to it below. Go and check it out. But I'll summarize everything and then tell you where we're currently at with new developments. But, long story short, this has started out with Benjamin Netanyahu calling out Ben-Gvir publicly. So it would seem like communication between them privately has broken down. It appears there's some personal discrepancies that they have with each other, and those lines of communication are no longer there. So they're airing it out publicly, including airing out dirty laundry, accusing each other of not doing what's right for the sake of Israel and for the sake of voters, and allowing for personal feuds to, get in the way of doing what's right for Israel. And so they're both accusing each other of this, and it boils down to Netanyahu is saying that if Ben-Gvir doesn't run on a joint ticket with Smotrich in this upcoming election in October, he thinks the entire right-wing bloc is going to be lost in Israel, and they will have a left-wing government. And Netanyahu is scaring everybody, saying that if there's a left-wing government, there will be a Palestinian state, which is not true. Even with a left-wing government, the people that are there, they're not in favor of a Palestinian state. And so he's kind of engaging in some fear-mongering. Netanyahu is being responded to by Ben-Gvir, who is saying, actually, this is not in the interest of the right wing, or really of Israel to begin with, because he says, look, I'll lose 3 to 4 mandates or seats in the Knesset if I team up with Smotrich. And so I'm rather going to team up with some other people. And Ben-Gvir is saying, well, if you do that, you're basically killing the right wing government that we currently have, and you're sealing the deal for a left wing government that's just going to destroy Israel. The entire country is at stake. Both of them are, by the way, saying the entire country is at stake. So they're kind of exaggerating the implications here. But certainly, the government is being weakened by these divisions, which is great if you're against Israel and you want to see a weakened Israel, especially for Palestinians' sake. Now, that kind of brings us up to speed, and here's what Netanyahu is saying on Twitter right now. Likud, which is his party, and his decision, by the way, the history of the Likud, you should go and look into it. It was a terrorist organization, a Zionist terrorist organization that was eventually merged into the Israeli state. Be that as it may, he says Likud, in his decision to burn tens of thousands of right-wing votes and not unite with Smotrich, Ben-Gvir has decided today to crown a left-wing government of Eisenkot, Lieberman, Yair Golan, and the Arab parties. What does Ben-Gvir want? A broad national government led by Netanyahu that will continue the historic momentum we created in settlement in Judea and Samaria over the last 4 years, that saved Israel from nuclear annihilation from Iran. Boy, all of this is a lie so far. That eliminated Nasrallah, Khamenei, and others. That led Israel to a strong, powerful, uncompromising right. Or does he want that Ben-Gvir, for personal considerations, will burn right-wing votes to crown a left-wing government, just like in 1992, before we got Oslo? And it's interesting because it's around the time that Ben-Gvir got famous. He got famous by engaging in acts of terrorism, acts of racism, and also threatening the prime minister at the time, who was later on assassinated. 3 weeks before he was assassinated, Ben-Gvir got famous for stealing the Mercedes logo off of his car, got on camera, said, "Yeah, I did this. I stole it, and we're going to get the prime minister." 3 weeks later, the prime minister, Yitzhak Rabin, was assassinated. Make of that whatever you will. But that's how he got famous, and he's been convicted as an actual terrorist, but he's part of their government. Be that as it may, he's saying, well, look, these are just going to end up how they were before Oslo and the Oslo Accords. In other words, you know, things are going to go back to making too many concessions to the Palestinians and causing security risks for Israel and stuff like that. That's how he's trying to frame it. He says an Eisenkot, Lieberman, Yair Golan, and Arab Party's government will evict you from your home, Ben-Gavir. Ben-Gavir lives in occupied Palestine in a settlement in the West Bank on stolen land. Even according to international standards, stolen land. So he's saying, you know, the party that you're going to be a part of is going to evict you, which is probably not true. It will establish a Palestinian state. Certainly, that's not going to happen. Unfortunately, I really wish it would. I wish Netanyahu was telling the truth, but this is just political rhetoric. It will capitulate to every international dictate. I mean, listen to him. He's just openly thumbing his nose at international law, which is no surprise at this point. It will weaken the IDF. It will shut down Channel 14. It will persecute right-wing people and return us to the season of the season. It will destroy everything we've built. Ben-Gavir, overcome the personal ego. Show maturity and responsibility. Unite for the sake of the right and for the sake of the land of Israel. Which Ben-Gavir is just saying, absolutely not going to do it. Not going to run on a ticket with Smotrich. Not going to come to your meeting on Sunday that you invited me and Smotrich to all discuss this. Not happening. So let me kind of give you a summary of where we're at here. So let me read this summary to you. There's a growing political fight on the Israeli right involving Netanyahu, Ben-Gavir, and Smotrich. Netanyahu has been urging Ben-Gavir and Smotrich to unite their parties ahead of the upcoming election. And the reason why is that will help secure that they have more right-wing figures in the Knesset, which is their parliament. The concern is that if the right-wing parties run separately, not on a joint ticket, but separately, one or both could fail to win enough votes to enter the Knesset, potentially costing Netanyahu's bloc the majority it needs to form another government. Because the way it works is, the people elect parties, and then those parties determine who will be the prime minister. Usually like whoever's kind of the leading figure there, who has the most, whatever party has the most backing, usually. And then the prime minister determines the various agencies who's going to run them. So Israelis don't actually elect their prime minister. They don't elect people to run an agency. Rather, they elect people in the Knesset, parties specifically, not necessarily even individuals, but parties, however many votes the party gets, whoever's in the top list, according to how many percentage of votes they got, that many people will be in the Knesset. Then they determine the prime minister. Then that prime minister determines who will be, you know, over defense and security and stuff like that, the various agencies. So Netanyahu is arguing by them not uniting, Ben-Gavir and Smotrich not uniting, Netanyahu will probably lose his power in the next election and therefore won't be elected prime minister. So that's effectively what he's arguing. But Ben-Gavir has rejected Netanyahu's demand rather than agreeing to merge or even meet with Smotrich to negotiate a joint electoral arrangement. Gavir has accused Netanyahu of trying to manipulate the situation and potentially betray his political allies after that election. Likud responded angrily, accusing Ben-Gavir of putting his personal political interests and ego ahead of the broader right-wing bloc. Likud, this is the Likud party, essentially argues that Gavir is risking burning right-wing votes and could end up helping the opposition form a government. That is, again, the left-leaning figures and the Arabs in the Knesset. So the bigger issue here is vote fragmentation on the Israeli right. Under Israel's proportional electoral system, parties need to clear the electoral threshold to win Knesset seats. If a right-wing party falls below that threshold, the votes it received don't translate into seats, which can make it harder for Netanyahu to assemble a governing coalition. Because if he's kind of not in the majority, if his bloc's not in the majority, they're certainly not going to say he needs to be the prime minister. In other words, Netanyahu is saying unite the right or risk losing the election. Gavir, however, is refusing to simply fall in line. That sets up an interesting battle with Netanyahu's own political camp. Netanyahu wants the right-wing parties to consolidate, while Gavir appears unwilling to sacrifice his party's independence, even if that could ultimately weaken Netanyahu's coalition. And by the way, there are quite a few parties in Israel. At least a dozen right now represented in the Knesset. So they don't have that two-tier party system that we have, or just two-fold system that we have here in the United States. They have a lot more. And the idea is that some of those parties need to come together to form a right-wing bloc to help, you know, ward off the left-wingers in the government and help elect Netanyahu as the prime minister. So it looks like things are falling apart. It looks like things might go to a left-leaning government. Will that mean a Palestinian state? I doubt very seriously. The figures involved are not for a Palestinian state, despite what Netanyahu is saying. They're not, unfortunately. But maybe you could see some more negotiations going on. Maybe you will see an end to the aggressive expansion and land theft in the West Bank. Maybe you'll see an end to the destruction taking place in Gaza and in Lebanon, or at least those things, you know, come to a slower pace at the very least. With Netanyahu, there's just no end in sight. They're going to keep pushing, continue to be aggressive on all fronts, and continue the same of what we have seen. But it really looks like Netanyahu is potentially going to lose this one. And like I said, if you're against Israel, this appears to be a good thing. Insofar as we can tell so far. Elections are in October, so we still have some time before then, of course. But I will, of course, keep you up to date on this situation as it continues to unfold. I also want to show you something else here. This is Joe Kent with Tucker. Just came out with Tucker earlier today, talking a little bit about Israel. Take a look.
So we can't get ourselves out of this war because the Israelis got us into it. Every time we think we're trying to get out of it, the Israelis take some action, primarily at this point, in this juncture, inside Lebanon, that keeps us in this war. We refuse to change our relationship with the Israelis. So the Israelis have no incentive to change their behavior whatsoever. We've never held them accountable. So when you look at it through that lens, the fact that the internal politics of Israel and the Likud party facing re-election, and the Israelis knowing in the back of their head, they know that Donald Trump is probably the last pro-Israel president that they're going to have. So essentially, they're going for broke. They're trying to get as much as they can right now out of the United States of America, out of the U.S. taxpayer, out of the blood of American soldiers before, you know, the ride comes crashing to a halt sometime in January of 2029. So when you look at it through that lens, everything that you just said about this tiny country, because of the influence it has over our politicians driving, you know, basically the fates of the world economy, the potential use of nuclear weapons, it's 100% true, and it should scare everyone.
So as he notes here, their ride is coming to an end, riding on the backs of U.S. taxpayers and U.S. citizens. They know the gravy train is coming to a halt. And especially with Netanyahu, it looks like kind of losing in being the next prime minister, at least as we can tell so far. I would anticipate between now and next election in October for Israel to be even more aggressive, for Netanyahu to be even more aggressive, to leech off America, to suck out our life, our resources, our money as much as possible, because he knows his time is coming to an end, and Israel's, again, ability to effectively demand our money, demand our military assistance, that's coming to an end at some point, and they recognize that. And so, again, I think that they're going to be pretty aggressive between now and the next election, and doing everything that they can to milk this gravy train as much as they can. By the way, one other thing I came across. This was an article that was posted 16 years ago. Iranian facing stoning. And the Iranian who is facing stoning speaks. It's because I'm a woman that Iran is trying to stone me, she says, allegedly, in this article. Well, it turns out the guy who allegedly interviewed her in The Guardian just came out and confessed he made it all up. I want to come clean about a front page story I wrote for The Guardian in 2010. It was presented as an exclusive interview with Sakina Ashtiani. That interview never happened. I fabricated the entire piece. It was a false story, completely untrue. And I take full responsibility. I apologize to the readers, The Guardian, and most importantly, I seek forgiveness from Allah. I know that lies, especially those told publicly, can have far-reaching and uncontrolled consequences. And so he's sorry. He asked God to bless him and accept his repentance, and says that this thing was entirely made up propaganda, which raises a very serious question. How many other articles have these people run? Alleged interviews that turned out to be completely false and fabricated. And how does that even happen that The Guardian would allow that and not ask for receipts? It makes you ask, what else has flown under the radar that somebody hasn't confessed to yet, if ever? It really does make you wonder. Anyways, that's what I got for now. Everybody hit the like button, hit the subscribe button. We'll see you tomorrow.